It all starts with an invitation to experience Lexus. To start the ignition. To feel confident. To be connected to everything. It starts as an invitation to drive a Lexus vehicle. But it becomes a dynamic experience. The Invitation to Lexus sales event. Your invitation is always open. But the offers only last through March 31st. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Hoop. There it is, here on Shooting the Sports-ish. Thank you so much for checking us out. Don't want to take too much time. We'll get right into this episode, actually. Before we do, I just want to say, make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. If you like what you're listening to, hit that thumbs up. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star review and rating. That's very helpful to the algorithm, helps us get discovered. And check out www.shootingthesportsish.com for all of your pro sports need, including coverage on this Monday Night Football game that is a game. Let's get right into it. We haven't had an episode since the season ended, since the Lakers were crowned your 2020 bubble champions. We've already seen some discussion here on the old interwebs about Mickey Mouse ring and all that bullshit, which is stupid. Frankly, it's just not very smart. So it's time to move on, though. We're getting some rumors going on, and I want to get right into it. We're going to talk about the hottest topics that are going on right now here in the NBA. So let's start with the one that is the most fun to talk about, I think. Now, these odds have changed already, but we're going to talk about MVP odds. And I've got a rundown right here. So you see this rundown? These are the topics I'm going to talk about here. If you're listening on audio, you don't see the rundown, but go to youtube.com/shootingthesportsish and you can check it out. MVP odds early in this season. We have not even gotten to the restart yet, but we have gotten to or the season start, I guess. It's not even really a restart. We know that the idea is that they're going to play 72 games. So these are the guys that they have, and I'm going to go through the top 10 dudes that are considered MVP favorites. Your number one favorite is Giannis. The Greek freak is the favorite to be a three-time back-to-back-to-back. Not one, not two, not three. Actually, yes, not one, not two, but three. Three-time MVP. Three times in a row. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see that happening. There is not a world that I see that happening. They've been the one seed 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, they lose in the playoffs when they should have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, they lose in the first round. It is going to be hard for me to believe that voters are not going to look at things that other people do and consider them more impressive, especially after the LeBron snub, because let's just be real here. LeBron was incredible last year. And LeBron led the league in assists as a small forward. That is unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. I just don't. And he didn't get the award. Luka averaged almost 29 points a game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Luka was unreal last year. Got the Mavericks to the playoffs. Luka won games without Kristaps Porzingis in the playoffs. I just don't see Giannis winning. I just don't see it. Luka is your number two at 600. So plus 600. He and Giannis are tied at number one. Best odds to win the MVP. Luka was the favorite at plus 450 per DraftKings Sportsbook a couple weeks ago. Obviously, this is going to continually change as things go on. The Mavericks could do things in free agency that I'll write about on shootingthesportsish.com, some things that they could do. They're also they're the favorite to land Danilo Gallinari per Vegas right now. So there are things that they could do that likely could lead Luka to winning an MVP a little easier. But even with the team he has around him right now, with Dwight Powell coming back, with Jalen Brunson coming back, they get two more offensive weapons that will come on, and that's going to be a huge deal. That's going to be a huge deal for Luka and what he does, and whether or not he's able to capture that MVP. And you could argue that maybe he was as deserving of the award as Nick Foles just threw a pick, yuck. As Giannis was. So that's the thing. Anthony Davis and LeBron James are tied for three at 700 plus 700 to win the MVP. I like where they're at there. I like where both of those guys are at. I like them having tight odds. Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to hurt each other for the from the award next year, or this season, this year, if it starts Christmas Day like some think it will. They're going to hurt each other for that award because they are so good and they're on the same team. But I like that they're there in the top five odds. Steph Curry, plus 1,000. He's clear number five all by himself there. Steph Curry is a really interesting one to think about. He's a really interesting person to think about for the MVP because with Steph, Steph is so good, right? He is so, so good. And he will be coming back healthy with Klay Thompson, with health, healthy Klay, a healthy Draymond. And then you're also talking about potentially a top three pick with him. If he, they could be adding a LaMelo Ball or an Anthony Edwards. With Steph Curry adding a player like an Anthony Edwards in particular, I think is going to be a really interesting one because he will take LaMelo, both of those guys, those are the top two overall draft prospects we'll talk about in a little bit, but they are the top two prospects, and they're both incredibly inconsistent offensively coming in. So if Steph and Klay are incredibly consistent this year, it's a real, I mean, it's a real thing to consider Steph Curry for his third MVP award, for him to come in and get that MVP award. I think that Steph is a realistic shot. I think that he's, I feel like he has better odds to win it than Giannis or Anthony Davis or LeBron. I like him as, I like it, like him and Luka to be the early favorites for MVP. I really do. Steph will win comeback. It'll be Steph versus KD for comeback player of the year too. Kawhi Leonard at plus 1,200 with Ty Lue as their coach. I don't think Kawhi is winning the MVP. Just frankly, I like, yes, sure, sixth overall, sixth place to win the award. I like the players behind him. I like their odds better. Seventh, we have Kevin Durant at plus 1,600. KD, maybe. He has Kyrie. That's going to hurt his odds a lot because Kyrie will be in that MVP conversation too if they play well. I don't like KD's odds at all. Jimmy Butler at plus 2,000. Jimmy Butler is an interesting person. He could be a wrinkle there. If Jimmy Butler continues what he did in the bubble in the regular season, very, very good chance that he ends up being your MVP. I think it's Luka's to lose this year. I think Luka will be the favorite and end up getting it. I just think it's going to, if Luka continues to do what he does and makes another leap like he did from year one to year two, there's just nobody that's going to stop that man from winning the MVP this year, regardless of what seed the Mavericks get, because Luka was just that damn good last year, and even better in the playoffs. You've got Harden there at ninth, and then coming in 10th, interesting, is Nikola Jokic. Jokic 10th is a really interesting wrinkle in the MVP odds. That's not a name I expected to see above a Damian Lillard, a Jason Tatum, a Joel Embiid, a Kyrie Irving. But Jokic, remember, he lost that weight during the offseason, I guess, the midseason offseason. And he was playing very well. That uncle at the uncle on at the park that comes and whoops all the young boys flat-footed fadeaway, look with his YMCA game dishing to everybody. Jokic is an interesting candidate for the MVP. But if I'm picking mine, my Mavericks bias is going to say Luka, just to be transparent. I'm a big-time Mavericks fan. Luka is my bias there. But if I'm being completely unbiased, right, and I do think it's Luka's award to lose this year, but being completely unbiased, I really, really think that if like, I am probably putting money on three guys to win MVP. I'm going to put a bet down on Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, and Jimmy Butler. I really like the Jimmy Butler one. Plus 2,000 for odds on Jimmy Butler. That's a really good payout. Realistically, someone that could win the award. Because I don't see him slowing down in the East. I don't see his rate of play changing at all. There's a real chance that continues. So we'll see what happens. Let's go ahead and talk about, moving on to topic number two, let's talk about favorites to win the NBA championship. We'll start with conference winners. Your favorites to win the, we'll talk just the top three. So your top three Eastern Conference Finals champions, Eastern Conference Finals, and then NBA Finals berth. You have the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 200. They come in at 200. The Brooklyn Nets are getting plus 300 odds. They are the second favorite, and the third favorite is the Miami Heat. The Celtics are in fourth. I think that we are too high on this Nets team. This Nets team is not going to be bad, but we're forgetting how good the Celtics are and how it is unlikely that they unravel like they did again. The Celtics are very good. The Celtics looked awesome for almost all of the playoffs. They made it to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble, and they are very young. You're talking about a team that has, what, 5 or 6 lottery picks on it? Kemba could be used better, sure, but that team got together last year. They played well, made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. The experience that this team got playing together in the bubble will be invaluable, and I think we really need to think about these teams that played long, deep series in the playoffs, because one, the amount of rest they're going to get off is not going to be much if they start on Christmas Day, which is what Shams was reporting. We'll talk about in a second. If that's where they start, is that soon? You're talking about being off for about 2.5 months, playing in the bubble together, living in a hotel at Disney World together, being awesome. I think that that's a really good chance. I think it's a really good chance that teams like the Bucks, like the Heat, and the Celtics, look out. I don't think the Heat will repeat as your Eastern Conference Finals. I like way too early. I like the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference this year. I really do. I think that they have enough there. I think Jason Tatum's very good. I think that Marcus Smart is also very good. So that's my favorite to win, unless something changes. Or this is pre-free agency, I'm making this prediction. So we'll get into free agency. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So let's talk about the Western Conference. As you could assume, favorites are the Lakers at plus 175. Unsurprising, the Clippers are your second favorites at plus 225. Warriors are getting plus 400 odds to win. That's your third. The Nuggets are getting a lot of disrespect as a massive drop off from the Warriors down to the Nuggets at plus 900 and the Mavericks at plus 1200. Nuggets, Mavs. If you're betting, you're trying to make a good reward on a small bet. Really like that Nuggets. I really, really like that Nuggets bet. No, the Lakers are probably going back to back. They're probably going back to back. But if a team is going to beat them, it'll be a Mavericks. It'll be a Denver Nuggets. It'll be someone like that. So I think you really need to consider those two as a bet. Now, the Warriors is also one I like. If the Warriors come back to what they can do, right? If the Warriors can come back to what they can do, if the Warriors can continue to play really well and add a third piece, they have Andrew Wiggins too. So you could have small ball. I mean, crazy good small ball. You're talking about having potentially... you're talking about having potentially an Anthony Edwards or a LaMelo Ball, a Steph Curry, a Klay Thompson, an Andrew Wiggins, and a Draymond Green as your small ball lineup. That is terrifying. That's a lot of speed, a ton of athleticism, a lot of guys, especially if it's Anthony Edwards that falls to them. You're talking about someone that you got four dudes that can drive to the basket and dunk on you, incredibly athletic. You've got spot-up shooters all over the place, and then you got Draymond, who will just piss everyone off until he gets the rebounds or gets ejected, or you get ejected and get a tech. The Warriors are going to be scary, and the Warriors are a team that can 100% give fits to Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and the Los Angeles Lakers. Speaking of those Lakers, your top five favorites right now as of the 30th of August, Monday, August 30th, 6:57 p.m. This is when it was last updated on DraftKings Sportsbook. Lakers are your favorites at plus 350. Clippers, favorites at plus 400. Your Milwaukee Bucks at plus 500. Brooklyn Nets at plus 600. Your Golden State Warriors are at plus 600. The Miami Heat, who lost in the finals in 6, they are plus 900 to win. Way outside chances, you have the Nuggets coming in at 7, Raptors at 8, Nuggets at 2,000 at 9, and then you have at 10, the Dallas Mavericks are they're pretty high. Sportsbooks are pretty high on the Dallas Mavericks. They think Luka's going to have a good year. I think the Mavericks are going to have a pretty good year, but ultimately not be a real contender for the league. So you have in your top five three Western Conference teams. The Nets are getting a lot of love from sportsbooks early because of the dynamic duo that will be Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Rightfully so. I do like the Lakers to repeat. I don't think the Clippers will get there. I don't think they're a realistic option. I don't trust Giannis. I don't think that they will get there. I'm really bought in on a Lakers or a Warriors victory in the finals this year. I think either the Lakers repeat or the Warriors get back and Steph wins another ring. The Warriors will not be bad, and we need to take the Warriors very seriously. If the Warriors trade that pick, that will change my mind. But I don't think they're going to trade that pick. I think they're going to take someone they get, and I think they're going to add young talent with fresh legs that nobody knows how to defend because they're not used to this guy. And I think that that's a real, real concern for NBA teams is who they add. If they get LaMelo, LaMelo's a perfect fit for them. I think LaMelo Ball is a perfect fit for them. I wrote about that on the website. I don't think that he puts as much pressure on defenses as Anthony Edwards. I think Edwards fits in better with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I think the Warriors would prefer to have Edwards. I think that they should prefer to have Edwards. He's a more dynamic scorer. It looks like he can defend pretty well. He's got more burst, more athleticism. He adds something that they just don't have a lot of. Without losing KD. KD was unreal athletic for them. His length, his athleticism, his ability to play defense, that really helped a lot. A 6'5 guard that's 221, and Anthony Edwards, I'm telling you, that is a problem if the Warriors get him. It looks like the season is going to restart. So the season is looking to restart. I've got it over here on the thing, too. The season is looking like it's going to start Christmas week, Christmas Day. Looks like revenue per Shams, which if you're not following Shams and Woj and you're a hoops head, then what are you doing? Go follow those guys on Twitter. Shams Sharia is his name. Shams is the man. Adrian Wojnarowski is the man. Follow them to the ends of the earth. And Hoop Central is another good one, too. But anyway, follow Woj, follow Shams. Those are your guys for NBA. You have to follow them if you want to know what's going on. They will break everything. They're awesome. So they're looking at the season starting on Christmas Day. Now, for someone like me that relies on the NBA season for normality during a COVID year, the season blew me, it blew my mind that the season stopped the way it did. I will never forget that night ever in my life watching the Mavs close out the first portion of the season. They also, the second time the season shut down, they closed out the night. So I'm not ever going to forget that night. And so selfishly, I like the idea of having the players start up the new season 2020-2021 in 2020 on Christmas Day so I can have my selfish Christmas tradition of watching NBA basketball. I don't necessarily think they should start that soon, though. I think with what these players that played in the bubble went through, I think that they should start after Christmas, after the holidays. Start like New Year's Day. I don't think you should start as soon as Christmas Day. I think New Year's Day is a little better. I think that you can feasibly do New Year's Day, and some players, I think, would not be as upset. Not having New Year's Day with your family is not nearly as bad as not having Christmas Day with your family, in my opinion. And in many opinions, right? Like young kids, New Year's isn't the same as when you're younger and you're partying and you're in your like early 20s to your late 30s. That's, you know, New Year's is a big deal. I think that they should get to start later. I think they need to have Christmas with their family. Now, that's a long time for the players that haven't played since March, like your Wizards, like John Wall, Bradley Beal. The teams that are like awful, like the Knicks, those teams that haven't played in almost 7 months now, that's a problem. And I don't know how they're paying them. If their salary is still getting paid, I'm not sure what's going on here. The NBA also lost a ton of revenue. They also lost a ton of viewership this year, which we're going to get to as well. And so I think that I think that I understand why they would want to start Christmas Day. I would love for them to start Christmas Day. I think they should start on New Year's Day. I expect them to start Christmas Day, though. I expect like a Christmas Eve, Christmas Day fiasco. If the NFL doesn't have Christmas Day games planned, which they probably do, but if they don't, I don't see why the NBA would not, or sorry, Christmas Eve. I don't see why the NBA wouldn't start on Christmas Day. It just makes sense, especially for revenue. Nothing else is on. No sports are on other than the NBA on Christmas Day. Many people love that five games in a row. So it makes sense. It just makes sense to start that day. We're going to talk about, I have Bleacher Report pulled up here. We're going to talk about top free agents here. We have some free agents that we're talking about. The season coming up. This was written today, October 26th. We're going to talk about some people that are here that are top free agents and where they're expected to go. And actually, I hate that article, so we're going to pull up a different one. It's almost like I should have looked here. Let's talk about top free agents now that I have it pulled up on Spot Track. That's it. So Gordon Hayward is considered one of your top free agents this year. These are the guys we have. Anthony Davis is your top free agent, obviously. Anthony Davis is re-signing. He's re-signing. Not a chance he's not re-signing with the Lakers. There's no chance in hell he's not re-signing with the Lakers. I hope that I don't have to come back and say, oh my God, Anthony Davis signed with the Chicago Bulls or signed with the New York Knicks. But he has an opportunity to win two rings in 2 years. So why would he not do that after being so bad for so long? Gordon Hayward's an interesting player. I want to say he has a player option on his. He does. Gordon Hayward has a player option. It's hard to believe that he wouldn't just opt back in. Nobody's going to pay him $31 million a year. His 2029 salary, his 2019-2020 salary was $31 million. He's opting back in because no one's going to pay him that. He averaged 17.5 points a game, 6.7 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Nobody's paying $32 million for that kind of production. Nobody's paying that shit. Not when there are other players that are out here that you can pay. Paul Millsap is another guy that's out there. He is an unrestricted free agent, so he has $30 million. DeMar DeRozan has a player option at $27.8 million. Shooting guard, 31 years old, from the San Antonio Spurs. He's someone I'm really interested in. Otto Porter Jr. for the Bulls, who played not very well last year, has a player option, making $26 million. You got to assume he's dropping it. He's going to opt in to that deal. Your Andre Drummond is another big, huge name. $26 million, just about, player option there. 27 years old in Cleveland. Anthony Davis isn't going to re-sign. Or he's going to re-sign with the Lakers. He's not going to be available. Drummond will be the number one. He and Hassan Whiteside from the Blazers will be your two most sought-after free agents, you'd have to think. You'd have to think they would be. Because there just are not that many good big men in the league. Nicholas Batum has a player option, 31 years old. Player option coming out of Charlotte, $24 million. He didn't do jack shit last year, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. Marc Gasol, free agent, but he's 35 already, playing Toronto. I doubt they want to re-sign him. That's a huge deal. Serge Ibaka, 31, $22 million. That's another big one. The Raptors are probably going to have trouble re-signing anyone at all. Danilo Gallinari is someone I like for my Mavericks to look at. $22 million is what he made last year. He still did give you 19 points, 5 boards, and 2 assists a game last year. Pretty big deal there with him. Jeff Teague is a free agent. Derek Favors. Tim Hardaway Jr. has a player option. The Mavs definitely want to know what he's going to do as soon as they can. Tristan Thompson's an unrestricted free agent. Evan Turner's an unrestricted free agent. You got a bunch of different names here. Now, October 13th, here we go. The Bleacher Report on October 13th put out some of these top guys. So they have Anthony Davis staying with the Lakers, obviously. Brandon Ingram is staying with the Pelicans. cannot imagine he won't. Fred VanVleet's another big name we didn't even talk about. They expect, so max contract is what Ingram will sign. Anthony Davis will sign a new deal. Fred VanVleet, many expect to go to the New York Knicks. I cannot imagine that he won't. I can't imagine that he won't go to the Knicks. I think that that's probably true. I think that's most likely true. I think we can pretty much count that. ESPN has some write-ups here. They think that Chris Paul is going to get traded. Drew Holiday is already getting some buzz about being traded. A lot of teams need some help here. I'm trying to find where they have the top 10 free agent signings. Brandon Ingram. Oh, there's videos here. Not a lot's telling me here. 10 free agent signings. Okay, here we go. NBC Sports. Let's talk about that, because I like to play off of what some of these other guys write. DeMar DeRozan to the Brooklyn Nets. That would be huge. And if the Brooklyn Nets did sign DeMar DeRozan, then I am going all in on them winning a championship. Teams are strapped. They don't have a lot of cash from COVID-19. Lost a lot. You have. Oh, that's a really good one. Yes, Antonio. So they're talking about doing a sign and trade. I like that a lot too. Victor Oladipo. They have Victor Oladipo going to New York in free agency and declining his player option. I like him. I think the Mavericks are going to be really big into him. I think the Mavericks are going to be very interesting in this free agency. Davis Bertans to the Boston Celtics. That's someone that they're interested in. Looks like they do need another place. They need another piece. Another shooter would be great for them. Buddy Hield is apparently not returning Luke Walton's phone calls. And he is someone that they could see that wants to be traded. I like that as well. Danilo Gallinari. He says that he wants to compete for a championship over money. Miami Heat, one-year deal. Makes sense. Keep that space open for a deep playoff run. And then you also are loaning him until Giannis is available, who they will sign. I like that a lot. Terry Rozier to Philadelphia and Al Horford to Charlotte. That's getting that's an interesting move as well. Fred VanVleet to the Miami Heat. I hate that. I think he's going to the Knicks. Montrezl Harrell to the Toronto Raptors. He is a free agent. They'll be interested in him. That makes sense. They would like him in Toronto. Aaron Gordon to the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, I can see that too. Marcus Smart to the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors trade Danny Green to the Celtics for Marcus Smart. I hate that. Those are terrible ideas. Those are terrible, terrible ideas. DeMar DeRozan, they have. Ooh, this is just some interesting stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of people that really think Montrezl Harrell will head to South Beach to join Miami. Him and Jimmy Butler together does make a lot of sense. It really does make a lot of sense. A ton of sense, actually. So, I could see it. I could see it. Let's talk your top prospects here in the NBA draft. Now, I'm looking at CBS Sports, and I don't agree with their draft assessment. They have LaMelo Ball as the number one overall prospect. Everybody does. Makes sense. It's hard to imagine that the Minnesota Timberwolves will not take him based on his name, his ability to sell tickets, probably based on his name alone. I think that's probably true. Yeah, I think he's the number one prospect. I think he gets drafted overall. Killian Haynes, point guard, 6'5", 192 out of France. Probably not. I don't see him. And they have Tyrese Halliburton at number 3. A sophomore point guard, 6'5", 175. James Wiseman, the big man center that's going top 5 in almost everybody's mock drafts. Anthony Edwards, freshman shooting guard, 6'5", 225. The most NBA-ready body in the NBA draft this year. Hard to imagine he's not going 2 or even 1. I just don't see a world where he slips from the Golden State Warriors. I don't think James Wiseman is going to them. That's not something I think is going to happen. I don't see that at all. I don't see them taking him. I don't see why they would want another center when they have Draymond Green already. So why? I don't see why. I don't see why at all. You also have Onyeka Okongwu from UFC. That's another big man undersized at 6'9", 245. Those are pretty good weight. Obi Toppin, who's made a lot of moves on mock drafts. So that's someone that you could definitely see. Denny Avisha from Israel. Patrick Williams from Florida State. And then Kira Lewis out of Alabama, sophomore point guard. So you have mostly guards in this top 10 this year. Couple wing players, few big men. Minnesota Timberwolves are first. Golden State Warriors, Charlotte Hornets, Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Atlanta Hawks, Detroit Pistons, New York Knicks, Washington Wizards, and Phoenix Suns. Free agency is going to play a huge part of this. They're going to play a huge part of this, for sure. I don't see a world that LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards do not go 1-2. There's not a chance that I don't see that happen. Ball to Minnesota, Edwards to Golden State. I could see Wiseman going 3 to Charlotte. They need a big man. They need anything at all in Charlotte. They're not a good team. Chicago, I could also see taking a big man. They have Kobe White and Zach LaVine, who could work for them at a guard combo. They need a big man down low to do some dirty work. It doesn't seem like anyone thinks they're going to be a big play in free agency, so that would make sense to me. And Chicago is going to want a big man too, especially when they lose Tristan Thompson, because they're not going to keep Tristan Thompson. They're not keeping him. I just don't think they're keeping him. We're going to wrap up a few more things here with the... Oh my gosh, what a pass. We're going to wrap up a few more things before we get on out of here. Don't want to be too long. So I'm about two more things. Fans and viewership. So the NBA didn't want to start their new season until they knew that they could get some fans in arenas. Now we're seeing here with the NFL that the NFL is letting fans in most arenas. There are a couple states where it's not allowed yet. New York and California. California seems completely unlikely to allow fans maybe ever again. So the Lakers won another championship, and they may never get to go to the Staples Center again, because it frankly doesn't seem like they have any interest in allowing fans in or people to do anything in that state ever again, quite honestly. New York, I think, will loosen up after the cold weather season, and frankly, no one's going to Knicks games anyway, so who cares? Nets games, they would probably sell a lot of tickets because of Kyrie and Kevin Durant. People want to see those two play together. Especially Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's a marquee mover, man. He's a big deal. He's a big deal. So I can see that. Sure. Could see. I think that we will have fans. In Texas, I think we'll have fans. The difference is with the NBA and fans is that the ownership in the NBA is much different than the NFL. And the NFL is mostly outdoors. Most of their stadiums are outdoors. So it's much easier to be okay with allowing fans in. But eventually fans have to return to arenas. Eventually everybody has to move on. And no, this is not a COVID tangent or me telling you what the right decision is, but just history tells us that when there are pandemics, eventually we move on. And when we move on, we go back to the things that we loved, which is watching sports. For the majority of the United States, we love watching sports, going to sporting events, tailgating. All of those things are going to come back, probably sooner than later. There was a time in March when the NBA shut down that we didn't know when we'd ever see fans in any kind of sporting arena again. And lo and behold, people were watching sports at local high school sporting events within like a month or two. And then you had NFL fans, like fans are in NFL games and no one knew if there'd be fans at kickoff. And lo and behold, the very first game had 5,000 or 6,000 fans or 15,000 fans, whatever it was. College football has fans in most of their arenas, in a lot of their stadiums and arenas. So you have to imagine they're doing that. Las Vegas is supposed to be the site of the NCAA tournament as well, and you have to imagine that's because they're trying to get fans too. These owners don't want to lose another season with no revenue without fans. There's going to be a huge push to at least get like 20% of that, 15 to 20% of those arenas filled. And the NBA players, they want their cut of money too because their salaries have to come down if they're not selling tickets. 82 games in a season, 41 home games, that's a lot of revenue lost. They also lost a lot of revenue from fans, from viewership, because viewership was real bad. But viewership is real bad for all sports. And I think NBA viewership will stabilize next year. I don't think it'll go up. I think it'll still be down, probably about 5% year over year from start of the 2020 season, start of the 2021 season to the Christmas Day last year. I think they'll be down. I think it's unrealistic to not think that they'd be down. People, one, don't have the money for cable anymore. Two, they cut streaming services because there was no live TV, and some people may have realized that, frankly, they just don't want to watch television like that anymore or care about sports like that anymore. So it's completely realistic to assume that there are some fans that are gone forever or they're watching illegal ways. So you have to wonder if the ratings will go up, and they'll go up from where they were. It's hard to imagine they'll stay 40% down. They were 40% down because they were competing with the NHL, with MLB, with NFL, and you just can't physically watch that many sports at one time. I have two monitors set up. I'm watching this NFL game while I'm recording this podcast, so I can keep up with two sports at a time. But I tried to do baseball, NBA, NFL, and hockey at the same time. Oh my gosh, fly came in my eye. And it's just not fucking feasibly possible. It just doesn't make any sense. It's so difficult. And you have to pick. And there was a lot of political stuff attached to the NBA this season. And I love the league for that. That's one of the main reasons why the NBA is my favorite league. But because that happened, people are so burnt out from politics, they just didn't tune in because politics are so attached to sports right now. And that's just the reality of 2020. People are worn out. It is important that we tune in and we see Black Lives Matter, and we see Black Lives Matter on the court. But we see Say Her Name. We see Say Their Names. We see We Want Peace, Justice, Education Reform. Those are important messages. But just because I find these messages to be important doesn't mean that Jane and Joe down the street want to watch their sports that way. I think the messages should stay. Fuck them. Because if those fans don't care about the players and their identities, fuck them. The NBA doesn't need them. Except they kind of do. They do need the viewership. But they won't have any of those things next year. They won't have, in this next season, they won't have any of the political messages. And again, I'm not saying that's a good thing. I don't actually think it's a good thing at all. I wish that they would keep the messaging. Because it just doesn't seem even. Like, it doesn't seem like it was genuine if they got rid of it that quick. And I kind of hate that. But I'm not in charge of the league, so it's not doesn't really matter what I think. So I hope that NBA viewership comes back, because the NBA, frankly, is going to be more fun than it has been in a really long time. It is. It's going to be more fun than it has been in a long time. There is going to be a lot of parity across teams. We saw that in the West. Like, yeah, the Lakers ran through the West 5-5-5, and then they went six games with Miami Heat. But the Lakers are likely not going to have that kind of a run again. They're not going to blow through everybody 5-5-5 next year. If they do, then Anthony Davis and LeBron James are one of the best duos we've seen in a long, long time. But it's hard for me to believe that the Nuggets don't come back even better than they were last year. The Clippers will hopefully be better, maybe be better. I don't know. The Mavericks will be better because Porzingis will be healthy. So you're talking about guys that, you're talking about teams that should come back and should be able to challenge those, should be able to challenge the Los Angeles Lakers. The East will have some parity because you're going to have more teams that are actually worth a shit this next year. The West is going to shake out to where there are 10 legitimate playoff contenders. Maybe like almost every Western Conference team is a playoff contender, and not a deep run contender, but a playoff contender. You have young stars like Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic in his third year, Devin Booker, who's starting to come into his own, Jamal Murray, who's coming into his own, Donovan Mitchell coming into his own, Jimmy Butler at 31 finally doing some of the things that he always thought he could do, and most coaches didn't believe he could until Spoelstra let him loose. So we're starting to see that. we're starting to see these new names, or these names that have been around for a while that never delivered. And then we have Giannis still doing his thing, Kevin Durant returning, Steph Curry returning, Kyrie Irving returning from injury. The league is going to be a lot of fun next year, and I hope that the fans are allowed to go see that at some point safely, and I hope that viewership comes back, because this league is awesome. Next season is going to be a lot of fun. The bubble was some of the best basketball I've seen in a long time, and it's like, as competitive as they were, it's hard for me not to believe that they won't continue to be that competitive and that good again. I think the level of play is going to continue to be there, and I think that a lot of teams now realize how good they truly are, and I think that's going to be fun to see. So anyway, guys, that's the end of this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of Hoop. There it is. I am going to probably not do too many episodes of these until the season restarts, probably just every couple of weeks, every 2, maybe 3 weeks, depending on what's going on. There's enough news going on right now to talk about it. We might do some trade rumors and stuff as they come up, but a lot of it will be writing. Please check out shootingthesportsish.com for all of your sports opinion needs. Subscribe here on the YouTube channel. Subscribe on podcast platforms. Check out all the great content and great writers we have here on the site. But from me, Tony, here at Shooting the Sports-ish, the rest of the Shooting the Sports-ish family, we love you. We appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your 2020. Hoop season will be coming soon. I can't wait, but I will wait because I have to. Adios.